This is intolerable language. How could anyone accept it? It was almost as if we jump straight from the end of the second reading, this reading from Ephesians, directly into the gospel. This intolerable language of wives submitting to husbands. Husbands, anyone want to be brave enough to admit that you've used this verse to call your wife to order? No brave men. Really? You will now. Very good. That's good. Well, maybe not. We'll see. It's one of these scriptures that often just gets completely dragged apart. People say, oh, I mean, this is just proof of how out of touch scripture is, how out of date all of these attitudes are. And the fact that so many in the church have used verses like this indeed to justify the suppression of women over the centuries is indeed intolerable. Because what this scripture is pointing to, again, you have to read it in the context and in the whole of the passage that St. Paul is offering to us today, is this mutual submission, this gift that Jesus led the way in, that he offered himself as the Messiah, as the one who was there seated in the throne room of heaven. And yet he chose to humble himself, to become available to us, to minister to us, to be there to serve the church, to form this people into his own. And this image that Paul uses so constantly, the image of the body, the image that Jesus is the head, and we make up the rest of the members of this body, that we together form the living organism that is there in service of the world, there to honor the rest of the world, to honor one another, to upbuild each other. And that in this relationship, there is this profound sense of mutuality, this wonderful, glorious call to give our hearts and our lives to each other. And so we can only read this verse of wives being called to submit to their husbands if we dare to go on to read the second part, or the later part of that line, as husbands are called to submit themselves to Christ, to give themselves, to so completely surrender to God, to his will, to his purpose, to his plan. I mean, that is gutsy stuff. It's so strong, this call, that that's the only way that any of us is ever going to be judged and measured. How faithfully did we keep that? How truly did we actually learn to love in the midst of everything else that was happening around us? How truly did we capture and receive that gift of love? How often were we called to grow in that, to sacrifice of ourselves in order that someone else might be able to experience some bare glimmer of that love? I mean, of course, yes, we need to experience that love first. And again, so often, and I think particularly in the lives of young people today, that they're so often failing and struggling just to understand who they are and how they are possibly meant to fit within that. And particularly perhaps for young men, struggling to come to terms with who they are. You know, all kinds of different things are happening in terms of their hormones and the whole sense of violence and strength and all of that stuff that often competes in a young man as they struggle and strive to grow up. But so often with the failure of the strong male role models in the family home and in the school and all kinds of things. Men being able to be there at home, in the workplace, and just calling young men into that sense of fidelity, into that sense of sacrifice, into that sense of service and courage and life. This is what Jesus is calling us always into, an experience of being loved so tenderly, so passionately, that we gladly give of ourselves, that we gladly choose the way of ultimate strength, which is the way of service, the way of sacrifice, the way of laying down our lives for the others. This is what we're being called into. This is the sacrifice, the gift that the Lord alone is calling us to. That's why those disciples found it so hard to understand what Jesus was calling them to. How could he give something so amazingly precious, the gift of his very flesh, to eat? How could that possibly be offered to this community to receive? And yet Jesus didn't back down. He said, no, this is the gift that I am making. This is also the gift that you as the church will have to make to one another. The sacramental language that John uses is so profound and so deep, because it calls us to remember that we're never to get in the road of Jesus. You know, often the church has, in fact, got in the road and prevented people from experiencing Jesus and Jesus' love and his mercy. Often we've been there with all these rules and regulations and all kinds of things that have prevented people from actually encountering God. And that is such a shame and such a travesty when you read and understand what John is inviting us into. That Jesus is there directly, personally, absolutely available to us, calling us into union, calling us into relationship with him, saying, look, I just want to feed you. I just want to give myself to you. I just want you to receive this precious gift in order that you can encounter me, and in order that you can understand who you truly are, in order that you can grow to be the young men and women that I have called you to be. This is this powerful challenge that the gospel invites to us, to stand with Joshua and all his family and to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As we stand with Peter, who says, Lord, where else can we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life. This is the call for us to take those same declarations upon our lips, to say, Lord, we've got it wrong so often. We're struggling to make sense of what it is that you're inviting us to be. But we want to believe. We want to declare. We want to offer ourselves to you. So we know, we hope, we trust that you have the words of everlasting life. So Lord, yes, we surrender to you. We commit ourselves to you. We will stand and serve you alone.